Welcome to Third Tuesday Conversation, a monthly podcast that focuses on the ministry of faith formation with children, youth, and families in ELCA congregations. Our goal is to engage in conversations that strengthen and empower your ministry world. This podcast is produced by the ELCA Youth Ministry Network. I'm Elizabeth Pedersen.
I'm Danica Olson.
And I'm Adam Butler. Welcome back, everyone, to Third Tuesday Conversation. We are so glad to be together again recording this, and we're glad that you are tuning in to listen. I hope that you have caught the last two episodes of our little mini series of Third Tuesday Conversation the last couple months around the question, where do we go from here? And we've had our friend Kristen on to talk about her own personal journey with that question. And we, the three of us, talked last month about where do we go from here in church and youth ministry world. And we're going to bring it home today with a special focus on kind of specialized ministry and specifically outdoor ministry. And we have a good friend of ours on the podcast today, a friend of mine, a friend of many, a friend and a member of the network, David Holtz, who is the executive director of Luther Crest Bible Camp. Dave, welcome to Third Tuesday Conversation.
Thank you very much. Good to be with you today.
So, Dave, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you ended up where you are and what kind of things you're working on up there at Luther Crest Bible Camp.
Well, wonderful. Yes, I ended up here because I applied for a job and they hired me. And this was something that I think was the right step and a really good step, and has been fun for the last 12 years here at Luther Crest. Before we get started, let's pray into this experience because we are seeking some hope in this realm. And as we answer that question, where do we go from here? I believe hope will take us a long way. And so as we pray, here I am, Lord, here you are, Lord, and here we are together. Lord, who am I? Who are you? And who are we together? And we all say, amen.
Amen.
So as I look at this long time, you know, I'm only a whopping 46 years old, so it's been just a short time that I've been on this earth. But the networks that we weave throughout all of our times have really been the important parts of where we are going from here. I would have to say that in my history of outdoor ministries, from the early days of being at Camp Shalom in Iowa, to Lutherdale, to being a youth director at Sugar Creek Lutheran Church, to working at Camp WAPO, to be a seminarian at Luther Seminary, the networks have all provided great resource and great support about where we are going from here. And so since I've been at Luther Crest, I have valued so many great networks for support, which have brought hope that in times when we don't know where we might be going, we can rely on the networks. And both the Lutheran Outdoor Ministry Network and the ELCA Youth Ministry Network, maybe the greater church, and there may be other networks that I can't remember that have provided great hope for me, have provided such a firm foundation in providing me a pathway or a journey or a roadmap to places that we hope to go. And so so I lean into those areas right now, especially during this pandemic, during racial unrest or economic unrest, all the other aspects that are feeding us right now, and looking forward to building this continued foundation moving forward.
Well, it's no secret that this has been a pretty trying time for all people in all different areas. And, you know, we're specifically looking at things through the lens of church and of ministry. And I know that this has been a particularly difficult and maybe confusing and unclear time for people in outdoor ministry, especially. So I'm interested, what kind of questions have you had to ask yourself and yourselves about who you are in this moment and where you're going as an organization and as a camp?
Early in the pandemic, we had to ask ourselves, what are we going to be doing in the midst of our mission? I know last month, you guys spent a lot of time talking about your mission and purpose. And at Luther Crest, we looked at that same thing and said, you know what, our mission is essential to who we are. Luther Crest's mission is to inspire faith, stewardship, and community in God's creation. And that can take place whether we are at the site in Alexandria or in Nisswa, or whether we are online on Zoom, or whether we're somewhere else in this great vast universe. And so we took it upon ourselves as a staff and a board to make those necessary changes to say what we normally would do, we won't be able to do this year. But what can we do in the midst of this? I believe the right term, medium, like how you convey something. So whether that's in-person worship, I think you talked about, you know, are we just repackaging what we're doing differently this time? I think, Elizabeth, you had mentioned that last month. Is that right?
Maybe Danica.
Was that Danica? Danica, my bad. I think Danica said that, is that our mission ends up then driving us. And so at this point in time, Luther Crest, or at that point in time, I should say, Luther Crest did package what we are known to do in a different light and provided resources in a different way. Knowing what we know now is we should have been even more innovative and thinking even more beyond than just what we normally do and how to package it a little bit differently. And I think that that's where we've moved into a new realm of trying to figure out what's or how Luther Crest's mission is going to live into the future. I hope we still do some camp. I think we will. It might be a little bit different. I hope we do retreats. I hope your church, Adam, comes back for a retreat sometime in the near future, right?
We
I
think that would too. Be.
I hope that happens. But in the midst of that, you know, there's just great opportunity that is ahead of us. I was on a conversation this morning with a partner in ministry in New Jersey, and we said, you know, we are in the midst of where the Altar Guild committee of the church, you know, most important, awesome committee, has now raised up new leaders in the technology committee, who's now just as important in the world of the church, or the worship and music committee has brought the technology need committee up to where the importance is. There's so many new opportunities that are out there. And I think we as a church body need to be embracing those and being willing to take those steps into places that might be unknown, but are an important spot to go.
I feel like for many people who are in ministry, outdoor ministry, camping ministry has been a vital part of their vocational shaping and the ways in which they work out God's call on their life, whether it was as a camper or as a counselor, a program staff. Many of us have found ourselves in camping spaces. And I think because it has been important to us, then consequently, it becomes an important entity in congregational ministry to make sure that our congregation's young people are also kind of shaped and formed as well in outdoor ministry. And I know that that has been a struggle for us is over these last 9 months and even looking into next year, how is it that when the vehicle or the medium of what we know makes camp so special and actually so transformative, when that isn't available to you, I'm just curious to know, like, how is your camp working out these transformative experiences when so much of it depends on the environment that you're in, right?
Yep.
Similarly to congregational ministry, but I think even on a greater level, the magic of camp is being at camp, tell us about how the heck you even begin to imagine bringing camp to kids in their basement on their computer when the magic of it is being around the campfire and running through the woods and, you know?
Yep. Well, I'll be upfront. You can't do it. It's impossible. And I think we realize that. And I imagine a lot of our listeners have realized that the being in person or being in relationship, having that one-on-one or a small group time, you can't replicate that to its essence, either online, on the phone, at a distance. You know, as you get in person, you can more, or if you're outside more, you can make that happen. But it's not, you can't replicate it online. And so how do you harness a purpose or an outcome that you feel is more realistic to what the excitement is? We, in the state of Minnesota, which is different from North Dakota, which is different from South Dakota, in relationship to how we have been able to do ministry, both in person and at camp, has led us to a number of great conversations that we've been able to have within our outdoor ministry network. So North Dakota camps were able to operate at a somewhat ministry mission in-person camp experiences last year. Actually, some camps in Minnesota were able to operate, but they just had to add different pieces or remove different pieces of the program so that they could function according to the state law or the American Camping Association or however it goes. I think we took that same mentality and said, okay, our mission is established. We're not going to gather people here at camp, but what can we do and what are the potential outcomes? Because what we wanted to do was to continue that relationship so that Luthercrest or the church or God could be still conveyed in a way that people might be willing to receive it. We were pretty surprised with the amount of interaction we got with our online camp formation program. Our summer staff, we hired for 30 that, you know, the summer staff of 2020 were an online summer camp staff. First, probably in all of history, I'm never. Pretty sure of that.
Yeah,
hopefully the last one we ever have, but we're not going to throw that stuff out either. I mean, we're going to integrate that into our ministry and keep it a part of the fabric of conveying God's love and God's grace in this. And so I believe that as long as we understand that our outcomes are going to be drastically different based on the vehicles or the mediums that we use, but the mission still holds true. And so you might not be able to reach everyone like you would in an online context as you would in person, similar to, I think, what we're doing in our church realm. You know, Adam, we've been working alongside you doing your track work there for youth ministry, and you got some great reviews from your youth committee members that, oh, this is great stuff, but we're just choosing not to use it. But I know people are using it in some capacity. And so those folks, I mean, if we're going for percentages, just think of what we used to do with the kids and the people that were in our church. You know, based on our membership, how many folks really worshiped with us on a regular basis? And we were really only in person, and really the digital stuff only went to maybe some homebound or some nursing homes and things like that. We have leveled the playing field that this stuff is available for everyone. It's being archived so that 30 years from now, we can go back and find out what Adam or whoever was speaking that day is saying about God's love during this pandemic. I just think there's so many great things that we can harness right now. And that I think that's the mentality that we can carry forth is we've got to be ready for God's work to do itself. And we'll just be alongside.
So you've talked a little bit about this, and I wonder about, I think you share with maybe all of us this sense of a sort of identity crisis in a way with the pandemic. And in some ways, perhaps outdoor ministry has kind of been walking that sort of path for a long time, you know, before the pandemic started. And a little bit, it could be like, hey, welcome to the club, all the rest of you, as you try to figure out who you are now. I wonder about, you know, in the grand scheme or the bigger picture of it, as you navigate identity, organizational identity. Maybe you can talk a little bit about like your disposition or sense of call or how you, you know, walk that road.
So from the early days of outdoor ministries, the reason a number of our organizations got started was to provide a different medium or a different vehicle for God to do God's work through God's people. And I think that in those early days, people were looking forward to something new. And I think over the course of at least the last decade, here in the outdoor ministry realm, our organizations have drastically changed. A number of people have changed, churches have changed, our ELCA structure has changed. I mean, this even goes back to 15 or in the last 20 years, I should say. And so I think we've had to be adaptive in how we connect with the folks we serve. For so long, our outdoor ministries were connected with the congregations, but as things changed, we became more connected, or in addition to the congregation, we became more connected to the actual camper or the camper's family. And so we've developed a different relationship with different people. And so as you talk about how we navigate our organizational identity, it's had to evolve over time, and it has required us to behave a little bit differently. Almost the sense of being an entrepreneur in a sense of being or looking out for the good of humanity or the good of the people that you work with is that, you know, we've had to change how we operate. And so I think that sense of call is still there. We're still there to support the work of the church, but I think we've also seen that we sit here in the, at least in my context, in the great city of West Central Minnesota of Alexandria. We're close to a number of other faith-based organizations. Our community is very interested in community partnership for the good of what we're doing here. And so I think that we've kind of just had to restructure how we think about ourselves. The identity crisis, I think you could say it's been an ongoing thing for some camps. It's been a little bit more severe than others. During this pandemic, I think we have had one at least camp that has had to close its doors, but I think that was already something that was on the process or on the way to happening. But their mission is going to live on in a new context. And so I think we as youth ministry professionals or church professionals need to be thinking in that capacity also as we restructure our program, as we restructure maybe the way that we're going to worship, how we do evangelism in our own communities. And I think there's a number of great stories that are probably already out there of congregations seeing themselves in different lights or as a different light in their own community.
Yeah, I'm curious, Dave, this kind of innovative thinking that you've in some ways been forced into as outdoor ministry in the last, you know, however many, pick the window, right? 20, 15, 10, the kind of innovative thinking you've had to do simply because the original intention of the organization has shifted so much over the course of time, along with larger organizational structures. I'm kind of wondering how this innovative thinking has prepared you for this moment, and how maybe we as church organizations, as ministry leaders, can learn from some of that innovative thinking that has already taken place. And so then I'm wondering, what has surprised you along the way, maybe in a good way or a bad way, and in what ways have you been prepared for this?
So I think in the element of innovation, there has to be a support network that is behind that innovation. And I think that has been prevalent here at Luthercrest, that we've been given a number of graces to innovate to the best of our abilities. And the team that we have here is a team that is willing to deal with some of the hard conversations, a team that is excited about trying things new, but they're also, I think, innovators of themselves. And that goes to people who've been here less than a year, to those folks that have been here for 26 years. There's a willingness to give things a different look. And I think when that support network is there, it makes the ground ripe for growth, so that when you throw that seed in there, it may not happen the first time that it takes place, but maybe it just needs to be cultivated a little bit different, or you need to add it to add some water or a little fertilizer in that way, and then oh man, I'm just not getting it that next time. Well, what else do we have to do? And so I think cultivating a culture or an identity of that trying makes things work in innovation. I think what the key thing about innovation, though, too, is all the things that come to the forefront of things that work, there are probably three or four of them that didn't work, Adam. But nobody will ever see those, because you just don't ever talk about that. You talk about the things that we do that are more successful. You know, when we're in workshops, we're talking about how can we be successful in light of this situation, or in the light of doing cross-country trips or service events. You know, what are the best practices? Innovation, those best practices come out of the failures or the things that didn't go as well. And so I think as we continue to look at innovation, it's asking the right question: what is God doing here, and how can we participate? And you know, is there a program? Is there a conversation that we can have? How do we become a part of whatever either the potential solution or the conversation is, and then take steps for that?
Strikes me as you're talking that so there's the prayer of good courage is a really important prayer in the congregation that I serve, and I think that so much of innovation is about having good courage. And so in this prayer, it says, having faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I think sometimes our hang up in ministry is that we're too nervous about what might fail. So we hang back in the balance and forget that courage is a part of faithful leading and innovation, and that courage is a huge part of faith. Like stepping out in good courage to try something new, even if it might just really suck. Mm-hmm. You learn something, but also just trusting the fact that God's hand is leading and love is supporting. So if it totally is a flop, you learn something along the way, so that the next time you step out with good courage, you know what not to do or how to do it a little differently. I don't know necessarily what I'm after, but I'm curious for you to push back on this. Like, is this a courage problem or a call to courage, what we're living in and through right now? And how maybe has courage been a player in your staff stepping out in good faith?
I think courage is an important aspect of stepping into innovation. I think as you would read with a number of other professionals in business or in church leadership or nonprofit in the schools, courage is actually, if you look at all of our schools, you know, they have identity or cultural aspects. I think courage has got to be listed in every school, you know, handbook or covenant, is because we want to instill that element of courage to our kids, young adults, even in adults these days, is to take those steps because they are important. I believe you're right that prayer is not only God leading us, but also we say God encourages us or pushes us. Sometimes God holds us up, but I think that element of stepping out and having courage to do so is there. I have a few items that I am trying to gain courage to take the steps on that are sitting here on this piece of paper that I just don't have the courage quite yet, but I know that it will come and it will be the right thing at a certain amount of time. And I think that those are those are where we are at this point. I think the pandemic has forced our our hands to, or our bodies, our minds, to think drastically different during this time. But I also believe that that has been done a number of times earlier, but we've never had to. Like the iPhone or the smartphone, best thing since sliced bread, maybe, I don't know. But that was an impressive step in technology, even the computer. I mean, we'll just do the iPhone or the smartphone. That opened the doors to so many new things. And yet in our church, we're 15 years behind in the technology side of our church world in some ways. Sorry to convict the church, but man, we've done a good job of coming along here pretty fast. And so how do we embrace these things that come at us and take those steps of courage? Because we know that God provides that courage, but whether we internalize it and take the steps towards it, that's where we as the human side can acknowledge that God coming to us and guiding us or leading us out into this unknown world. How many times have I had conversations about feeling like I'm in the wilderness, where Holy Scriptures talked about being in the wilderness all the time. I hope it's not 40 years that we're sitting here, but I'm sure they thought that also. Maybe they're like, oh, maybe in 6 months it'll be here. We'll celebrate the Passover and then we'll move forward. Nope, here we are still. But they started behaving differently. I think they called God into question, which I'm sure we've all called into question what's going on. We've called their leadership into question. We've called everybody into question. But how do we now sit with that courage, stick with that sense of mission? I think each of our churches have to line up with our mission, talk with our councils, our committees, our staff, and say, hey, we got to come behind this mission. And if this mission is where we're going to drive, we got to think way beyond what we're currently doing and taking steps so that the work of the church, it's not in a downward spiral. We are in an upward. We are being readied to go out into the mission field and make disciples, or at least care for disciples and care for our neighbor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's why it's felt so hard, is because I think that's why it's felt so difficult along the way, is because the whole environment every day feels like an act of courage. Because if we circle all the way back to the first part of this conversation about how like we can't replicate ministry online the way we would in person, like every day is inherently a failure because we can't do that thing, right? So it feels like we're just having to act courageously every single day. I know that sounds ridiculous because there's actually people that are like acting courageously in real ways every day right now, but through the ministry lens, every day feels like an act of courage, or at least taking that step out into potential failure, because it is, because you're always going to fail when you can't do it the way that is most fruitful in a lot of ways. And so I think it's interesting then to, if we go at it from that perspective, what are we learning along the way from the things that we're failing at, or at least like coming up short on? A lot of our churches, like we're not going to be able to go back to not offering our services online. We had to step out and do that. And now we're not going back. Some would argue we probably should have been there already, but like we can't go back. Right. Dave, you also were talking about how like you did online summer camp this summer. And in some ways that was like a perfect reaction to what was happening. But it's not going to work that exact way into the future. But what are the kind of accidental things we learned along the way doing these small acts of courage in this time where, failure is kind of just like right around the corner every time we make a decision?
I think in the church realm, you guys are up against a drastically different situation than I am here in outdoor ministries, because there is there's still an impact that you need to make as a connector to the congregation. There's pastoral care or youth care, that time that we need to spend with one another in times of crisis. I mean, there are things that are still happening, but what about those mediums or those failures? And I think the element of doing is exactly how we can go up against failure. And let's do. We tried to make certain that people knew that we weren't bringing summer camp to you, because that's not possible. You know, that element of the summer camp stuff has to be done, or that sense has to be in those unique relationships and those sort of things. I believe too in the sense of worship. Worship is drastically different online, but the essence of God's word coming to us in a new way is still present. It's just not all the same. You know, I've been trying to reflect in the last little bit of time, and I don't know how long that has been, but if you think about when you're leading worship or in worship yourself, how do you engage if people are paying attention, you know, to what's going on in the church service? I think we'd be surprised at how much, even when we're in person, how much we're distracted by something else. And so that element of, is you failed when you were in person too, Adam, or you failed, but we still did it and we still will do it moving forward. And I think that's the element of where do we go from here, is we still need to do, because there's a lot to be done in this world. And we know that there are people that are acting out in courage during this pandemic in great ways, in the healthcare system and first response, in other businesses, food service, those sort of things, that we know that they're doing acts of courage in that realm. And so that's where we get the privilege of stepping out into that, in courage and in innovation and in doing.
As I've been listening the last little bit here, I have this imagery in my head of a river. And we're talking about outdoor ministry, so we might as well. And it feels like at the beginning of the pandemic, it feels, at least to me, like I was trying to walk upriver, trying to make it all work and put it all together and put it out there, going against the river, against the flow, because that was all that we could do to make it through. And I think at some point, we've talked a little bit about this idea in previous podcasts, but at some point, it feels like, at least for me, I needed to willingly turn around and flow with the river, go with the river, and let it take me wherever it's going to go, because I can't continue to walk upriver. And I wonder about that, like that turning around. It's a sort of maybe freeing sort of thing, but also terrifying. And, you know, this is where courage comes in, is like having the courage to flow with wherever life, the new life is going to take us, is a very real thing and takes a lot of courage to see what's going to happen. Because, like, and wherever we come out here, it's never going to look the same. And either we can fight against it or we can flow and see what happens.
Might we say that this is about embracing our brokenness and allowing for hope of something new to enter in? Right. I mean, I think that and that's the beautiful thing about this, right? To turn and to flow with our brokenness and the death that surely awaits us in, you know, in organizations, in our lives. I mean, that accepting some of that, all of it, and going with it is in some ways the freedom we need to hope that something might come out of this that is good and innovative and courageous and life-changing. Yeah, I think that's beautiful. I like that river thing. That's good, Elizabeth. Nice work.
Well, and we know that rivers carve their own path in some ways, depending on how much water is in there, right? So let's let that river and hop a boat. I mean, Moses was in the smallest of the boats, I think, in the Bible. Is that what is out there? Placed in the basket, right, as a boat, and let go to follow a path and look what took place. And so I think we have not only that courage, but also that hope that God is going to do God's work with us always, and that we can step, swim, jump in and jump for the ride, and let's just move. Nobody wants to go back, right? We all want to go forward. And so how do we take those steps to do that?
Mm-hmm. So good. Perfect words for this time right now. And thank you so much, Dave, for being with us today and talking with us. And I thank you for the hope. The hopeful conversation is exactly what we need right now. And so on that note, I would love to end our time with a blessing for you. When your back's against the wall, when the walls are closing in, when the very last straw has been drawn, when you ask, where do I go from here? Know that you are not alone. The weight of the world is not only yours to carry, for we believe in Christ who strengthens us. We believe in God who works for good in all circumstances. So may you, beloved child of God, may you find peace. May you rest in the promise of grace. May you take a deep breath, unclench your fists, and know that wherever you go from here, God goes with you. Amen.
Before we wrap up, we have a few announcements and reminders. Registrations for Extravaganza 2021 are coming in fast and furious. You've probably heard that we had to hold loosely to our last round of planning and make some changes again. The event will still be February 4th through 6th and will be done only online and at host sites around the country. You can find more information, including how to get registered for either option, at ext21.org. Our goal is to make the event as accessible as possible to as many people and congregations as we possibly can. Because of a generous grant from the ELCA campaign, we're able to offer this year's extravaganza for $25 per person or for only $60 per congregation. And you can bring as many people as you'd like from your church for that low cost. You should totally sign up. Thanks for all of you who are members of the network. Your membership makes things like this Third Tuesday Conversation, the Connect Journal and Discipling Cohorts Initiative, and the Extravaganza, and much, much more possible. If you're not a member of the network, we encourage you to join. If you are, double check to make sure your membership is up to date. You can do so by logging on to our website and clicking on your name at the top to see your account status. We're grateful to be a community that cares for this ministry. Thanks so much for listening. New podcasts will be released on the third Tuesday of every month. Be sure to subscribe so you receive them as they come out, and please share it with your friends. And finally, thanks to Paul Amlin, the 3TC producer, for his work. Have a great week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.